started here. So we're on Samach Vav Amud Aleph. We're starting from the Mishnah in the middle of the page. So the Mishnah says, "Balo Eitzel Seir HaMishtalech V'Somich Shtei Yadov Alavu Misvades." This is going to sound very familiar from the davening on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol would come to the Seir LaAzazel. He would lean his two hands and do vidui. V'chacha Yomrin. He would say as follows: "Ana Hashem Chatu Avu Pashu Lefanecha Amcha Beis Yisrael." He says that Klal Yisrael has sinned. These are all different types of averos, whether it's sinning b'shogeg, b'mezid, rebelliously. Ana Hashem, kaper na lachataim v'la avonos v'la pshaim, shechata uvisha avuvisha pashu l'fanecha amcha beis Yisrael, kakasuv v'soras Moshe avdecha lemor, ki v'yom hazeh yichaper aldechem v'taher eschem yikol chatoseichem, l'fnei Hashem titaru, which is again a common refrain that we say throughout the davening on Yom Kippur. Basically, the Kohen Gadol is asking, the Kodesh Baruch Hu forgives Klal Yisrael for all of their averos. V'ha-Kohanim v'ha'am ha'omdim ba'azara. Again, the Kohanim and the people were standing in the Azara. K'shehayu shomim shem ha'mefurash shoyotze mipi Kohen Gadol. When they heard the ineffable name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being uttered from the Kohen Gadol. Hayu korim v'mishtachav v'nofam ma'panem v'omrim baruch shem k'vod malchuso li'olam v'ad. They would bow and they would answer baruch shem, because the halacha is that whenever you hear shem Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, instead of responding amen, the din is you have to respond with baruch shem. Then the Mishnah says, Misaro l'misha hayam olicho. The Kohen Gadol handed off the Seir LaAzazel to the Ish Iti, the guy who was designated to take it to Azazel. Hakol k'shirin laholicho l'sha'asu hakohanim gedolim keva v'lohoyu manichin es Yisrael laholicho. Although technically speaking, any person could have been the Ish Iti, could have been the guy who took the Seir to Azazel, there was some kind of a minhag that the Kohanim Gedolim established that they would not allow, generally speaking, Yisraelim to do this. They, for some reason, decided to reserve this job for Kohanim. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maisev Aholicho Arsala v'Yisrael Haya. But apparently there was one time this guy named Arsala, who was a Yisrael, he one time was the Ish Iti. Again, there's nothing wrong Me'ikar Adin with having a Yisrael being the Ish Iti. It was just for some reason the Kohanim decided for some sort of a minhag to only let Kohanim do it. V'chevesh asulo mimnei habavliim shehayu misalshim misaro v'omrim lo tol v'tzei tol v'tzei. They made this ramp in order to allow the Ish Iti to safely exit Yerushalayim to go to Azazel, because apparently the Babylonians, and we'll see actually on the next time, it's not really the Babylonians, it's really the people from Alexandria, but again, whoever these people were, they used to, again, it's not exactly clear from the Mishnah what they were doing. Either they were pulling at the hair of the Ish Iti, or at the feathers, or the wool of the goat. They were basically telling the guy, get the goat out of here as quickly as possible, because we have all these averos that we need kapara for. Now again, there are some Rishonim who ask, well, why was this not an Isser of Gozes, or if they're plucking at the hair of the goat, so they're, as they're trying to get rid of their averos, they're violating an Isser Doraisa. So again, whatever. Again, there are different ways of reading this
Rabbi,
Mishnah.
Just in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Which of the various karbanos is giving Am Yisrael the most kapara?
The most kapara. Again, I don't know if there's a way to quantify different karbanos affect different forms of kapara for different people. So like the seir, again, the Gemara is actually going to address this in a second, actually, which people are atoned for with the seir LaAzazel. But as we spoke about this earlier, different, for example, the par atone, you know, one karban atones for Bnei Aaron, one karban atones for all of Klal Yisrael. And the seir LaAzazel, as we're going to see in a second, also atones for Klal. So different karbanos.
Is there overlap?
Yeah. There's for sure overlap. But again, at the end of the day, all of these things are part of the Seder HaAvoda. So whether you get kapara from the Seir LaAzazel, from the Par Yom HaKippurim, there's going to be kapara from multiple venues, but at the end of the day, you still have to follow the Seder HaAvoda. Okay, so the Gemara now says, V'ilu b'nei Aharonam kedoshecha lo ka'amar. Mantana, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah delo k'Rabbi Yehuda, d'ikar Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar yesh lem kapara b'Seir HaMishtaleach. The Gemara is medayik from our Mishnah that when the Kohen Gadol was doing vidui on the Seir LaAzazel, he only asks for kapara on behalf of Klal Yisrael, but not, as Danny was just alluding to before, not for the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? So seemingly, our Mishnah is against Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Seir LaAzazel affects kapara for everyone, including the Kohanim. The Gemara says, no, that's not a raya. The Gemara says, Abayam Rafilu Tema Rabbi Yehuda, Atu Kohanim, Lao B'Klal Amcha Yisrael, and then why can't the Kohanim also be part of Klal Yisrael? So yeah, when the Kohen Gadol says that you should, that the Seir LaAzazel should affect kapara for Klal Yisrael, he was also including the Kohanim. Fine. Then we said, Misaro L'misha Molicho, he handed off the Seir LaAzazel to the Ish Iti, to the guy who was going to take the goat to Azazel. Tana Rabbanan, Ish Lahachshir as Azar, Iti Sheyehe Mizuman, Iti Vafilu B'Shabes, Iti Vafilu B'Tumah. So the Gemara has several drushos that we derive from the pasuk in the words Ish Iti. Ish The Gemara says, you see from here that technically speaking, a non-Kohen can be the designated guy to take the Sirlah. So as we pointed out in the Mishnah, although there was a minhag not to do that. And then the Gemara derives three things from the word E.T., right? The word E.T. means that he has to be designated beforehand. And it also teaches me that he has to take the Sirlah Azazel out, even if Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, and there could be potential issues of Hotzah, as we'll discuss in a second. And even if the Ish E.T. is a guy who happens to be Tameh, that's also okay. So the Gemara now explains. Ish Lahashir es Azar Pshita. What's the Chiddush of telling me that the Seir La'azazel could be taken up by a non-Kohen? In other words, why would I have thought otherwise? It's not one of the Avodos, right? It's not done in the Beis HaMikdash. Why would I think that the Ish E.T. has to be a Kohen? So the Gemara says, no, Ma'u Desema Kapara Ksiva Be'ka Mashmalan, because since the Torah talks about the concept of Kapara for the Seir La'azazel, one could have argued that maybe it resembles an Avodah, and therefore perhaps it must be done by a Kohen. So no, Kamashmalan, the Me'ikar Adin, it can be done by a Yisrael. E.T. Va'afilu B'Shabbos L'mai Hilchasa. What's the ramification of the idea that you can even take the Seir La'azazel out on Shabbos? Amar of Sheishas, lo marshim hayacholim markivo al ksefo. The chiddush is that if the goat is too sick to walk, it's too ill to walk on its own, you're allowed to carry the goat on your shoulders, even though you're bumping up against the potential isser d'orais of hotzah, of carrying, right, in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but it doesn't matter. The Torah overrides that with this din of ishiti. So the Gemara says, keman, delo ke Rabbi Nassan, de'i Rabbi Nassan, ha'amar chaynose ha'satzmo. This halacha, that which the Gemara says that you're allowed to carry the goat on Shabbos, that seems to go against Rabbi Nassan. In other words, the fact that I need a drusha, the fact that I need a chiddush Torah to teach me that it's mutter to carry the goat, and implying that I would not have known that otherwise, seems to be against Rabbi Nassan, because Rabbi Nassan is of the opinion what's called chai nosei asatma, that a living creature carries itself. This actually has ramifications of halacha today. Let's say, for example, you live in a place where there's no eruv, and you have, let's say, a four-year-old child. So a four-year-old child can walk on his or her own, but let's say the child's fussy, the child doesn't want to walk, you want to carry the child. So we pass, and that's mutter. You're allowed to carry a four-year-old child even if there's no Erev. A baby that cannot physically walk on its own is problematic to carry when there's no Erev, because that doesn't qualify as chai no se asatma. The baby can't walk yet. So the Gemara says, the fact that I need a drusha, a chiddush Torah to teach me that it's mutter to carry the goat when it's sick, that seems to imply that the baseline is against Rabbi Nassan, that we generally don't accept this idea. To which the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Afilu tema Rabbi Nassan, chala shayni. You can argue that no, even Rabbi Nassan would subscribe to this drusha, because since the goat is infirm, it's ill, the goat can't walk on its own. But if it was a normal, regular, healthy goat, then maybe he would say, yeah, then in that case, it would be mutter even without the drasha. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rafram, Zoso Meris, Erev Ehotza L'Shabbos, Ve'ein Erev Ehotza L'Yom HaKippurim. We derive another halacha from this drusha, from the word E.T. Again, the fact that the Gemara said that I need a Chiddush HaTorah to teach me that when Yom Kippur falls out on a Shabbos, it's still mutter for the person to take the Seir La'azazel, to carry the goat to Azazel if need be, the Gemara says the implication is that the concept of an Erev, and by extension the Isser of Hotza'ah, is limited only to Shabbos and does not apply to Yom Kippur. Now that's a pretty significant Chiddush, because usually we assume that Yom Kippur and Shabbos for the purposes of Malacha are more or less the same. Again, there are a few differences in terms of Onshim, in terms of what your punishment is, but overall, we assume there really are no real halachic differences between Shabbos and Yom Kippur for the purposes of Malacha, but this Gemara seems to be going against that basic assumption, at least for one area of Halacha, because the Gemara is saying that there's a Chiddush HaTorah that when Yom Kippur falls out on a Shabbos, I'm still allowed to carry the goat. Again, the baseline assumption obviously was that normally on a Shabbos, of course you're not allowed to do that, of course you cannot carry, but the Gemara never made that assumption, never made that drasha for a regular Yom Kippur. In other words, if you assumed that there was an Isser Hotzah on a normal Yom Kippur that did not fall out on the Shabbos, then this drusha should apply across the board. Why is the Gemara limiting this only to Shabbos? This should be true every single year. So the fact that the Gemara limited this only to Shabbos implies that the Isser of Hotzah, and by extension the concept of an Erev, is only applicable to Shabbos and not to Yom Kippur. Okay. Then we say,
Rabbi,
yeah.
They're not concerned about the guy walking outside the tchum or
anything. Oh, we're gonna get well. So tchum is only in Isser Durabanan. We pass the tchum is only Durabanan. So that's for sure not going to be relevant here. These are all dinim d'oraisa. We're talking about, you know, Seder Avodah and Yom Kippur. So there's no way that, you know, we're talking about throwing out potential dinim d'oraisa in order to fulfill Seder Avodah. So there's no way that tchum is even going to be on the radar screen here. Yeah. Okay, then the Gemara says, Iti va'afilu betumah l'may hilchasa. Then we add the final drush on the Gemara, was that the word E.T. teaches me that even if the ish E.T. is tameh, he can still take the Seir La'azazel out. What's the chiddush of that? Amar of Sheshes, lomar she'im nitma mishalcho nichnas tameh la'azara u'mishalcho. The chiddush is, even if the ish E.T. is tameh, he's allowed to enter the azara to take the Seir La'azazel, which is a pretty significant chiddush. Normally, if you enter the Beis HaMikdash while you're tameh, you're chayiv karis, you're chayiv misa for that. So the chiddush is a note that in the case of the ish E.T., even if he's tameh, he's allowed to enter into the Azara to take the Seir Lazos. Okay, now the Gemara has an assortment of questions that were posed to...
Even though he's over the lav,
again, all these lavim are pushed aside because this is part of the Seder Avoda. Yeah, okay. So now the Gemara is going to have an assortment of questions, some relevant to our Gemara, some not, that were posed to Rabbi Eliezer. And as we'll see as we go on, he's going to deflect every single one of these questions and not answer them. And we'll see as we go on why he's not answering any of these questions. So the Gemara says, "Shalu es Rabbi Eliezer." So the first questions are directly related to our Gemara. Chala mahu sheyar kiveil al ksefo. They asked him, "What's the din? Let's say the goat is too ill. Are you allowed to carry it on your shoulders? Can the Ishiti carry the goat?" Which basically means that, well, when you designated the goat initially as the Seir Lazazel, it was so strong, it could have carried me and you, which is just another way of saying, you know, it's not going to be that weak. And he was kind of just, again, as we said, deflecting. And again, we'll see why in a second. What if the Ishiti got too sick to take the goat? Can you go then, can you designate another person to take it out? He said, I and you should be in good health, should be in peace. Again, he's deflecting. What if you push the goat off the cliff, but it didn't die? Somehow it survived. Do you have to now go down to the bottom and actively kill it? Hashem, he said in a pasuk from Sefer Shoftim that says, so all of Hashem's enemies should be destroyed, which again is another way of saying, you know, there's no way it's going to survive. Now again, we'll see as we go, and as I keep mentioning, why he's not answering any of these questions. Now the Gemara is going to give straight answers to all three of these questions from the Chachamim. The Chachamim omrim, chala markivo al ksefo, chala mishalcho yishalchenu biyad acher, dochafu velo meis, yerid acharovim yisar. The Chachamim just give you straight answers. They say, if the goat's too sick, you can still carry it. If the ishiti gets sick, you can appoint another guy. And if the goat doesn't die when pushed off the cliff, you have to go down and actively kill it. Now the Gemara is going to ask some unrelated questions to Rebbe Eliezer, which again is going to lead us to that final answer about why he's not answering anything. Shalu es Rebbe Eliezer, ploni mahu la'olam haba. Amarle lo shel tuni yala aplon. Now it's not 100% clear what exactly the question and answer was. Rashi has different versions, and we showed him about different versions of what the question was. So we'll stick with the version that Rashi quotes, just because for the purposes of this Gemara, it'll flow a little bit better. It's based on Rashi and Tosfos, that this is really an allusion to Shlomo HaMelech and to David HaMelech and to the stories that are mentioned throughout Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Malachim. So the question that was posed, what will, in other words, Ploni Mahu La'olam Haba? So according to the second Shad in Rashi, this is a question about Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech going to be a person who goes to Olam Haba? To which Rebbe Eliezer responded, you only asked me about Ploni, but not about the other person. In other words, maybe you should have asked me about Avshalom, who is Shlomo's stepbrother or half-brother, whatever, who rebelled against David HaMelech. And again, we'll see as we go on, all these very vague questions are an allusion to many of the characters that are relevant to the story of David and Shlomo. Then the Gemara says, Ma'u l'hatzo roa kifsam in ha'ari. What's the din? Is a shepherd permitted to save a lamb or a ewe from a lion's about to kill it? Now again, you could look at this question one of two ways. Some of the Rishonim say this is like a real halachic question. Let's say it's Shabbos and the lion's about to attack. Are you allowed to save your animal? But again, in line with the more Agadaic theme that we've been discussing in the Gemara, this is more of an allusion to Bathsheba, the story of Bathsheba, the fact that David HaMelech essentially had Uriah HaChiti killed and took Bathsheba. Was that permissible? So Amar Lohem Lo Shel Tuni Ela Al Akivsei. Again, so Rebbe Eliezer is deflecting again. You only asked me about the ewe, about the lamb. Then Ma'u L'Hatzel Haroa Minari. What about saving the shepherd from the lion? So again, with the theme that we've been discussing, that's an allusion to Uriah HaChiti, that David HaMelech had him sent to the front lines and had him killed off and eventually married Bathsheba. Amar Lohem Lo Shel Tuni Ela Al Aro. You only asked me about the shepherd. Then the Gemara then they asked him another question. Mamzer Mahuli Rash. So they asked him, what's the din? Is a mamzer able to inherit? Let's say a father has an illicit relationship and gives birth to a child who's a mamzer, and the father dies. Is that child, that mamzer, you know, entitled to Yerusha? So Rebbe Eliezer responded, Mahuli Abim. What about Yibum? He said, is a mamzer subject to the mitzvah of Yibum, right? Let's say, for example, a mamzer theoretically would fall into a scenario that would have warranted Yibum. Is there a mitzvah of Yibum? Then they asked him, Mahu Lasod Es Beso. What's the din? Are you allowed to plaster your house? This is, again, a sugi that appears in the end of the third parak of Baba Basra. You know, in times of after the Churban Abayis, there's a din of Zecher LeChurban. So the question was, are you allowed to decorate your house in such a way that maybe would undermine the concept of Zecher LeChurban? To which he responded, Mahu Lasod Es Kivro. What about, decorating or plastering your grave? So the question is, why is he not answering any of these questions? So the Gemara finally tells us, The real reason why he wasn't answered wasn't because he was ignorant, but rather because he was very makbid to never say anything that he didn't explicitly hear from his rebbe. And we know this from several gemaras in Shas. The gemara tells us in Megillah, for example, that if a person says something in the name of the person they heard it from, so they're going to bring geula to the world. The gemara in Yevamos says that when you report something in the name of your rebbe, or the person's lips move in the kever. Right. So this idea of only reporting things that you heard directly from your rebbe was something said to him. So since he never heard any of these questions explicitly addressed by his rabbeim, he didn't feel comfortable saying them. Not to say they didn't know the answer, he just didn't want to address them. Now, the real question you could ask in this whole gemara is that you could cut out half this entire gemara, and he could have just said from the beginning, he could have said, "I'm not answering your questions because I never heard this from my rabbi." So again, Rishonim discussed why he didn't just give that answer, from the outset. Now the gemara has another very kind of strange interaction that involved Rabbi Eliezer. Shala isha chachama es Rabbi Eliezer me'achar shema'isa ha'igol shavin b'neima in misasan shava. Now we know that everyone, with the possible exception of Shevet Levi, as we'll see in a second, was equally culpable in the cheda igal. Why was it that different people got different punishments? As we'll see, some people died by the sword of Moshe and Shevet Levi. Some people died from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and other people died from some sort of intestinal, some sort of intestinal illness. So if they were all equally culpable, why were their punishments different? So before the Gemara addresses this question, Rabbi Eliezer says something very strange. Amar la, ein chachma le'isha ela befelech. V'cheinu omer, v'chol isha chachma slei b'yadeha tavu. Basically, he told her, women's knowledge is in weaving and spinning thread. And he quotes a pasuk from Vayakil that the women used to spin thread for the Mishkan. In other words, he basically told her, you shouldn't be, dabbling or involving yourselves in these questions, even though, as we'll see in a second, it was actually a legitimate question, which Gemara is going to address. But he said, go back to your weaving, to your spinning thread, whatever it is. And he says, leave the learning to me, or whatever, or something along those lines.
It's very, very enlightened.
Yes, exactly. So the Gemara now actually addresses the question. Itmar, Rav Levi. Chad Amar Zibeach v'kiter b'sayif, gopath v'nishik b'misa, somach b'lvavo b'hadrokan. V'chad Amar Eden b'hasra b'sayif, Eden b'lo asra b'misa, lo Eden b'lo asra b'hadrokan. So there's two different approaches here, basically. The first approach is that the different punishments that were given out depended on what activities were done in relation to the Egel. So the most serious offenders are the people who actually slaughtered, karbanos or ktores to the eagle, that was punished by death by the sword. Then those who hugged and kissed the eagle, they were punished for misa b'dei shamayim. And those who were simply happy about the eagle, they had these intestinal illnesses. That's one pshat. The other pshat is that if there was edim and hasra and you were warned not to do it and you did it anyway, then you got real misa. If there was edim and no hasra, then you got misa from Hashem. And if there was no edim or hasra, then you got this intestinal disease. Amar Rav Yehuda, shifto shel Levi lo avad avodas kochavim shenamar vayamod Moshe b'shara machaneh. Shevet Levi, as we know, did not participate in the Egel. In other words, the Gemara says not a single member of Shevet Levi was involved in worshiping the Egel. So the Gemara says Yosef Ravina v'kamer lahashmaita esive b'nei Rav Papa Baraba l'Ravina ha'omer l'aviv ulimo lo re'isiv. The problem is the pasuk in Vezos HaBracha tells us that he says to his father and his mother that he didn't see. The implication of that pasuk in Vezos HaBracha is that there were members of Shevet Levi who were worshiping the Egel. The Gemara says no. The Gemara says aviv avi imo mi Yisrael echav mi imo mi Yisrael, banav b'nei bito mi Yisrael. In other words, it was no one who was genealogically part of Shevet Levi worshipped the Egel. There may have been, let's say, a maternal grandfather, or a maternal, or let's say you had a daughter who married a non-Kohen and had a child. That child could have worshipped the Egel. Or let's say you had a brother who married a non-Kohen or married someone not from Shevet Levi. Those people could have worshipped the Egel, but anyone who was born into Shevet Levi proper did not worship the Egel. Okay, then we said, the kevesh asula, they made this ramp going out from Yerushalayim to Azazel because the Babylonians or the Alexandrians, as we'll see, used to heckle the Ishiti as he was going out to get him to kind of hurry up. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Lo Bavliyim Hayu Ela Alexandriyim Hayu Bitoch Shasonim Esa Bavliyim Hayu Korin Osan Al Shaman. So these were really people from Alexandria, not from Bavel, but they called them Babylonians because apparently they hated the Babylonians. So it was kind of like a disparaging term. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Bavliyim Hayu Ela Alexandriyim Hayu Omer Lo Rabbi Yosi Tanuach Daitcha Sheinach is that Rabbi Yossi, who was from Bavel, was relieved to hear that these people who were heckling the Ishiti were not really Babylonians, they were really people from Alexandria, and that made him feel better. Then we said, Tovitzei, Tana, Mashoit, Sviradein, V'chovei Dara Sagin. These people would tell the Ishiti, what is this goat still doing here? And we have all these, this abundance of Averos. Get this goat out of here so we could start to get a kapara for all of our sins. Okay.
Rabbi, just quickly, it was more than the Averos of participated in
the. It sounds like people from each shevet. Again, it doesn't say in the Gemara how many people from the other shvatim worship the Egel, but it definitely sounds like there were people involved. And again, to varying degrees, as we just pointed out, right? You know, maybe not everyone was as explicitly worshiping the Egel as the Erev Rav was. Yeah. Okay, the Mishnah says, "Mi'akira Yerushalayim ha'imalavino so atzuka harishona." So the prominent members of Yerushalayim would then escort the Ish-Iti to the first booth. Esther sukos mi Yerushalayim biatzuk tishim ris shiva v'mechta lechomil. So there were 10 booths from Yerushalayim to the cliff, and there was a distance of 90 ris. 90 ris is so there are 7.5 ris for every 1 mil. So that means that there was 12 mil from Yerushalayim to the cliff. A mil is about 2,000 amos. I'll call sukkah the sukkah omrin lo hare mazon v'hare mayim. At each booth, they would tell the Ishiti, here's some water, here's some food. Again, we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow that he never actually ate any of it because it was Yom Kippur. But again, the thought of the possibility that he could have had food or drink was comforting to him. Umalavin oso mi sukkah le sukkah chutz mi acharon shebohen she'eno magia imo la tzukah le omen mi rachok v'roes ma'asav. They basically escorted him from one booth to the next, except when he got to the last one, from the last booth to the cliff, nobody escorted him. They would just stand there and watch what he did. Mehaya, so what did he do? Cholik lashon shel zahores chetzio kashur b'selav chetzio kashur bein shnei karnav v'dachavu la'achorav whom is galgel v'yored. So he took the crimson string and split it in half. Half he tied around the rock, half he tied between the horns of the goat. He pushed the goat off the cliff. V'lohaya magia l'chatzi haharach enasei ivarim ivarim. The goat didn't even make it halfway down the cliff, and it was already, you know, basically being ripped apart limb from limb. Bav yasha l'tacha sukkah acharona achetechshach. He would then come back to that last booth, and he would stay there till after Yom Kippur was over. At what point do the garments of the Ish-Iti become Tamei? So it's Machlokas in the Mishnah. According to the Tanakhama, once the Ish-Iti leaves the confines of the wall of Yerushalayim, his garments become Tamei. However, Reb Shimon Omer Mishas Techiyasa Latzok. No, once he pushes the goat off the cliff, that's when his garments ultimately become Tamei.